Today's daf in the second Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is Daf Kuf. Boy, that's a major change. So we're getting into triple-digit dafim here. So Daf Kuf, and we're still holding, however, on Tzadik Tet Amud Beit. So we can start from 8 lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. So we were talking about yesterday the question of having a Aliyah from giving out Truma to Yuchasim, and we found that there was a big machlokas whether we have to worry about this between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. So meanwhile, we want to take a look at all of the issues that have to do with Chalukas Truma in the Beit HaGoren, and where we're makpid not to give Truma out. So Tana Rabbanan, there's 10 situations where we will not give out Truma in the Beit HaGranot, even though the people that we're giving to would have a right to Truma on some level. So let's take a look at what they are. Then after we go through what they are, we'll go through the understanding of why we don't want to give them. So Tana Rabbanan. There's 10 situations. Asarayin chokilan Truma beBeit HaGranot ve'elohen. First of all, we have Cheresh, Shota, Katan, Tumtum, Androgynous. Remember, we're going to go through each one, so don't worry about it now. An Eved, an Isha, an Orel, a Tome, a Kohen who is married to a woman that is Asura to him, so she's Eina Hogenet Lo. But all of these people, we will send Truma to their homes, it's just we won't give it out to them publicly. So Kulan Mishagrim Lehem Labatehem, except for two cases. A Kohen who's Tome, we'll see why. And a Kohen who is married to a woman that is Asura to him. She'eino hogenet lo. So let's go through each one. Bishlam a chereshot v'katan. Okay, I understand why we wouldn't want to publicly give a chereshot v'katan, because since they're lav b'nei de'aninu, and we're taking something that has the kedusha of Truma, even though we don't have a right to keep it from them, but it looks like a cheapening of the chashivas of Truma when we hand it out to some wonky guy who's walking around like a meshugana. And we don't want to do that because it's mizalzel in the truma. The same thing is true about a tumtum vandrogonus. Now, there's no reason why a tumtum vandrogonus would not be allowed if they come from a family of kohanim. I mean, why would they be puzzle? Also, because in people's eyes, obviously we can't say a tumtum is a bria bifnei atzma. That's ridiculous. All that we have over here is a problem of submerged genitals, right? But nonetheless, in people's eye, like, who's this weirdo that you're giving out truma? Okay, so it's, again, it's only a question of public ziluta. Now, the Eved, I understand the Eved is a problem, but that problem, of course, would be the question that's dependent on the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So, okay, Einochinami, if you're chayshinan for malin miyuchsin, so then we're afraid that Dilma Atila Suke, but this would only be true on Libra Rabbi Yehuda, which is how this follows the Suke that we had yesterday. We don't want to publicly give him Truma, even though he is Royal Truma, because he's owned by a Kohen, but that's because people may mistakenly consider him to be a Kohen himself. We don't want to give an Oral and a Tame, because in terms of Truma, it's considered to be Ma'us. It's inappropriate to give somebody who himself is not roy for achilas truma. Now, let's understand. Why would we give an oral who can't eat truma? Why would we give him truma? Well, obviously, because the psul of arelut is only nogea, his personal eating truma. He still has a right to truma. That is to say, he can give it to his wife, and give it to his kids, give it to his avadim. So why wouldn't we give him truma? Because it's just like inappropriate. Remember what we're talking about over here of an oral is somebody who has been born into a family of hemophiliacs. He's lost a couple of brothers to attempted circumcisions that have resulted in death because of bleeding. So because of that, obviously he cannot get, he's usher to get a Brit Milah. And therefore he certainly isn't doing anything wrong. I mean, we can't be giving him a knas not to send him truma. Poor guy would love to be like everybody else, but can't. So nonetheless, we're not going to send him truma. The issue is not because he can't eat truma, because he since needs the truma to give to his family. And in fact, as we say at the end, we'll send truma to the house. We don't want to give truma in public. So that must be, again, because there's something inappropriate or distasteful about giving truma to somebody who is essentially antithetical to truma. And that's the Kol Orel or Yochabo and so on. That idea that applies to kachim applies to truma. And therefore, there's a sense of being mo'us. Now, we use the word mo'us for arelut, yes. We don't usually use the word mo'us for somebody who's tame. But the idea is that it is a mo'us thing vis-a-vis the truma, not that he is mo'us, but that it is disgusting to give truma to somebody who mamish, the whole point is that this is the guy who's not supposed to be around truma. What are you giving him truma for? The other case of nosei isha she'ino hogenet lo, that is a knas that the Rabbanan gave. You want to stay married and refuse to get rid of this woman who is asura to you as a kohen. Be damned if you're going to get anything that deserves, that a kohen deserves. So therefore, we're locking you out, buddy, and you don't get any truma. That's all. But that's obvious. That's a knas. But what in the world is the problem of giving out truma to a woman at the Beit HaGranot? Why will we only send it to her house? So isha, my time alone. So this, as we saw earlier, is a machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Unna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua. Chad amar mishum grusha. So one says the problem is, what happens if this woman gets divorced and the people that are handing out the truma at the Beit HaGranot, they're not up to date on her status. They don't know that she's divorced. So if we're used to giving her things that are really usur for a divorcee, we're talking over here where she would be a Bat Yisrael who was married to a Kohen, and we said before, even if she's a Bat Kohen, we're also going to usur, we make one standard usur on a divorcee, even though she was roi to go back to Trumas Beis Avia. So one of them, either of Papa or Ravuna, said that's the problem, that she'll continue to eat Truma. And if she's a Bat Yisrael, she's usur to eat Truma. And the other one says, you don't want a woman to be going down to the Goren, do you? God only knows what might happen down there, like David HaMelech. So anyway, this again goes back to the whole mocker of Yibum and the Megillas Rus. It's very cute. So Chad Amar Mishum Yichud. The other problem is that we're worried about her being alone with a guy who's giving out the truma. Is there a real difference? L'halacha? My binayu? So one possibility of a difference between them would be, where is the Goren? So if the Goren is near the city, and it's, however, a rather small business, and very few people come to this Goren, so over there, look, if you're near the city, then by definition, you know all the gossip. There's a musr in this. So if you're near the city, you know all the gossip, in which case you know that she is divorced, right? So over there, there's no problem. But there is, however, because it's a small business and there's rarely people there, so then she can get into trouble being alone with the guy. Or the opposite. Let's say you have a goren that's far away from the city, in which case you would have no idea that she is divorced. Not gossiping, but on the other hand, it's a big business and it's full of people. So over there, there's no problem of yichud. So depending on what the purpose of keeping a woman away from chalukas truma bebei goren, there would be an afkamina la'aloch. And then the last thing that the Braisa said of our Tana Rabbana that we started on Amud Aleph is that kulan mishagrim lehem lebatehem chutz mitamei v'nosei isha she'ena hogenet. There were two special cases where we will not even send them truma. Now, I understand that okay, these people are going to be pashtas. We have a very special reason, but pashtas because they're not going to be eating truma themselves, but that can't be the point, because we do send the Orel, right? You said the only two cases that are different is the case of the Tomei and the Nosei Isha, She'ena Hogenet. But what about an Orel? We will send him. Why? My timer. Because, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. The poor guy has two brothers that died from Mila. Obviously, he's usher to be Mal. So what are we blaming him for? So why won't we give it to him? I mean, L'chora, it's because, no, we will give it to him, but not in person. So l'chora, it's because we considered him to be an onus. So maybe he's most to give it to him directly, publicly, but why should we keep him from truma? But if that's the case, I mean, the guy who's tamei, I mean, like, what do you want him to do? You know, he's tamei. Somebody died in the house, or he was exposed to something that was metamei him. He didn't go out to make himself tamei, obviously. So why does it say that we will not send a tamei truma to his house? Tamei nami. I mean, isn't he an onus? He needs the truma for his family. So, and he's an onus. It's different, says the Gemara, because in the case of an oral, he is totally 100% blameless in this, and there's absolutely nothing he can do. He's a complete onus. He's not allowed to get a brit milah. Masha Enkein, the guy who became tamei, listen, you could always do better. So in other words, if you're going to be careful not to become tamei, just be more careful. So we have a reason to have very strict standards so that Kohanim will get used to the idea of being very strictly careful about Tuma. And therefore, we don't even send it to him in his home. Tana Rabban. We have a braita about this issue, and that is that an Eved and an Isha in Chokim Lehem Truma Bebet HaGranot, but, so we don't give them out Truma, but in a place where we do give them out Truma, what are you talking about? The Gemara will ask that in a moment. If you're in a place where you do give out truma, so then the first person to get the truma is the woman, and let her get out of here right away. Potrino Tomiyad, what are you talking about? First you say we're not allowed to give truma to a woman, and then you say, but if we are giving truma to a woman, what? No. B'mokam shecholkin doesn't mean in a place where the minhag is to give an isha against the halacha. That's obviously not the point. B'mokam shecholkin means in a circumstance where we are doing a chalukah, not of truma, but where we are doing chalukah for a woman. Let's talk about a case of Maiser Ani, a poor woman living alone. She needs Maiser Ani, doesn't she? She's this poor almana. So obviously we're going to be mechalek Maiser Ani to her. And Maiser Ani, we don't have a problem of Goren because we don't give out Maiser Ani in the Goren. We give the Maiser Ani out in She'arecha. And in She'arecha, you're giving it out and where you're located, where you're living. So then there's no problem of Yichud. She comes to your chatzar and she's at the door with all the other Aniyim. So you give it to her. So what we're saying is, in those places that are not Truma, well, like Maiser Ani, where we are giving to a woman, give the woman first and let her leave. Because there's another issue here, besides the problem of Yichud, which we don't have here, because obviously if we did, we wouldn't allow you to do it that way, you'd have to send it to her. But we don't have a problem of Yichud because we're in the city and there's a whole line of people that are waiting to get Maiser Ani. There's no problem of Yichud. Nonetheless, send the woman out. Now, we didn't take into consideration another issue, and that is for a woman to be sitting in a line in which all of the men are there. Is just, for her, it's extremely low class. And she feels belittled by it. It's a ziluta. A woman doesn't belong out there waiting in a line. So because of that, take care of her first and let her go home. Omar Rava, you know what I learned from this? It used to be when people would come to the Beis Din, and I would have a number of different applications for cases to be taken care of that day. I got a waiting room. And if there would be a male and a female, both of whom have a din. So I used to do, I would take the man first. Avisharin tigra de gavra beresha. The reason I would take the male first is because I said to myself, you know, men are chayav in more mitzvahs, and a woman is ptura from any mitzvahs that are the zman is garma. So because of that, I have a chayav to take care of the men first, because they are, so to speak, mukhayav in these mitzvahs, and therefore I have to give them that covet and give them that time to be available. But kiven de shamina and lahab, when I learned this story that if you're giving Maiser Ani, you cannot leave a woman to cool her heels when in a line, I realize I was doing the wrong thing. So I always take the women first so that she doesn't have to cool her heels in a waiting room, because it's inappropriate to treat a woman without class. So my time, I'm Bishum Ziluta. And that's the idea of course, the Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Pnima. I have to treat her with greater respect than I treat a male, so I'm going to leave her in the waiting room. So I realized that I was doing the wrong thing. Anyway, so then we get on to the case, remember, of the prince and the pauper. So we had over here, we had a prince on the one hand, who is a Kohen, and we had a pauper on the other hand, who's an Eved, but we don't know which child is the prince and which child is the pauper. And we got a big problem over there because neither of them is allowed to get married to anybody because, well, obviously, if he's the Kohen, he's not allowed to marry a Shifcha. And if he's an Eved, he's not allowed to marry the Bat Chorin. So what are they supposed to do? And in terms of getting Truma, how do they get Truma? So what happens is over here is that there's nothing to do with the Truma, the Mishnah says, except to come down together. And then if you're there together, according to the Mandi Amar, who says that if you're there together, there's no chashash of being Mala Leyuchs, because everyone will see one is the prince and one is the pauper. Fine. But if they go ahead and they give each other a get shichrur, so that the prince, whoever he is, has given a get shichrur to the pauper, so then they at least they'll be allowed to get married, but then they can't eat truma. Okay, but the Mishnah says, in the event, shichru zed, in the event that when they grew up, they gave each other a get shichru, which is mashma, that this is purely voluntary. So if they decide that they're going to be mashakru one or the other, then this would be the halacha. Mashma that you don't force them to do that. It's mashma that, boy, if you volunteer to do that, that's fine. The ilo ba'ilo, if you don't feel like being b'shachar each other in order to be able to keep getting the truma together, well, okay. But why would we allow this situation to continue? Isn't this the classic situation that we had with that whole Mishnah of a chatzi Eved and chatzi ben Chorin? And we said, Lisa Shifcha eno yochol, bat Chorin eno yochol, and therefore libatel. Wasn't the world created for period of Arivia Dichtiv lo tohu vera ala shevet, and so on and so forth, right? So why don't we apply that? We see that we force people to give a get shichrur in cases where there's no other way to get married. So why don't we force these two to give each other a get shichrur? Va'amai, lisa shivcha, eno yachol bat chorin eno yachol. Omar Rava, you're absolutely right. And the correct thing to it, the way that the Mishnah actually should be read is kofinotan umeshachrin zetze. We force them to give each other a get shichur to enable the marriage of each of them, and then these will be the consequences in terms of achirat shruma v'chule. And then we said, I thought we had this whole list of what we do because we're not sure which one is a Kohen and which one is Yisrael. So what is the point of the closing words that we had in the Mishnah? That not nimaleyam chumrei kohanim v'chumrei Yisrael. I understand what that adds. We've spoken about every possible thing, no? No, says Rav Papa, forgetting one very important thing. Because remember, there is this very great difference between a Kohen who brings a Korban Mincha and a Yisrael who brings a Korban Mincha. The mincha of Yisrael is v'kamatz, and then the shirayim go to the kohen. Well, a kohen, so that's the shiur of ne'achalim. But kol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel. There is no such thing as doing kmitza, because it has to be kalil, on a minchas kohen. And you have to put all of those shirayim on the mizbeach. You can have some kap. There you go. So in that case, what do we do? They're bringing a mincha. We don't know whether it's a Yisrael or a Kohen. Now we're in big trouble. If we do kmitza, then we're going to be wasting the shirayim. If we don't bring the shirayim, then we're going to be over on the iser of kalil tiyeh. So that's what it's talking about. So what we have to do in that case is we take the chumrah of both of them. So we do kmitza, because maybe it's a Minchas Yisrael. If it's a Minchas Yisrael and you don't do Kmitza, it's like trying to bring a Korban Behema without doing Shechita. Boy, what a scene that would be. So remember that the Kmitza is connected to Shechita, right? And therefore, there's no choice. We'd have to do the Kmitza. But we don't eat the Shirayim because Lo Te'achel, because it's a Minchas Kohen. So then how do we do it? We have to, you're mechuyev to still be mekayim the mitzvah of Kalil Tiyah, aren't you? So what do we do with the Shirayim? So what we do is, we bring up the Kometz on the one hand by itself, and we bring up the Shirayim separately, and we put them on the Mizbeach. So that way, we do both. So we did the act of Kmitza, maybe Z Yisrael. But we don't eat the Shirayim, because maybe he's a Kohen. And that has to be burnt. But wait a minute. You can't put something on the Mizbeach that might be usher to put on the Mizbeach. Remember that the Torah says, in the case where, over there, it's a Hemshech of the Pusik that we have by Se'or Vidvash, right? So it says, Kol ha-mincha shetakrivu la-Hashem lo te'aseh chameitz, ki chol se'or v'chol tivash. Then it throws in on the lo taktiru mimenu. Yishal, what do you mean mimenu? Lo taktiru mimenu. So we learn out an amazing isser there. Lo taktiru mimenu means that anything that was already on the Mizbeach mimenu, lo taktiru. Which means that let's say you have Shirayim, where you took off the Kemetz and it was already mimenu on the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to put the Shirayim on the Mizbeach. So what do you mean? Just in case he is a Kohen, let's put the Shirayim on the Mizbeach, and what, and be over on an Isser Lotaseh? How can you do that? So why is this a good Eitzah that you're saying this way we have the best of both worlds? You certainly do not. Once you did Kmitza, then you're not allowed to do anything else. So how in the world is this Mutter Bichlal? Answers the Gemara, okay, I'll tell you, there's a solution over here. The solution is, let's first read the Kasha. Ikri kan kol shemimenu le'ishem areu bebal taktiru. Omer Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rishim ben Pazi. You put up the Shirayim, but you have in mind like this. If these are really Shirayim, and he was really a Yisrael, and therefore this is not royal Mizbeach, my intent is to use these Shirayim as firewood. In other words, basically, I'm increasing the heat on the Mizbeach, which will be used to burn the Kometz. So since I'm not bringing it up for a carbon, it's okay. Where do you get that from? This is really adorable. Where you get it from is the very next pasuk, because the pasuk that comes after Lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem is what? Korban reishis takrivo otam la'Hashem ve'ela mizbech lo yalu l'reach nichoach. So what do you have to tell me l'reach nichoach? Say, ela mizbech lo yalu. Ela the pshat is, you can't put it on the mizbeach with the intent to be makrivit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is called l'reach nichoach. But you could put it on the mizbeach for the tzorach of Eitzim. So you're using it as additional fuel. There's no iser in using things that can burn as fuel. Doesn't have to necessarily be literally eights. You're bringing up l'shem eitzim. Therefore, l'reach nichoach yatamala aval atamala l'shum eitzim. That is Rabbi Eliezer's beautiful diuk. Okay, that's very nice. We know that Rabbi Eliezer holds that. But we also know that the Rabbanan do not agree with Rabbi Eliezer. So, honey, it's very nice if you're going like Rabbi Eliezer. But the Rabbanan, we know, beferish, don't hold of that. How do we know? Because we have the whole machlokas, remember, in a chatas, where we had a mixture of the evorim in tarovis. We had a mixture of evorim of a chatas with an evorim of an oila. What do we do? The evorim of the ola are supposed to obviously be burnt on the mizbeach. The evorim of the chatat are supposed to be eaten by kohanim. You can't bring up the Evorim of the Chatas on the Mizbeach, just in case, because of the Isser of Kol Shemimenu La'etzim. And over here, we're bringing all of the Emurim on the Mizbeach. So what are we supposed to do? So that's where Rabbi Eliezer comes up with the idea. Bring up the Evorim of the Chatas with the Kavana that if, in fact, this is Evrei Chatas, they should be used as the fuel for burning the Evrei Oila, right? But the Rabbanan say, no, you cannot do that. Actually, you have to allow the whole mixture to become Pasul Belina by leaving it overnight, and then you burn it. Like all psule mukdashim, not on the mizbeach. You burn it in the place, the beis hasreifa in the azara. So then, if you hold like the rabbanan, obviously they don't hold of this eitzah. Have in mind that you're burning it for eitzim. So what are you supposed to do in our mishnah? You can't tell me that we can only work this out a little bit of Rebbe Eliezer. I'll tell you what we do. What we do is the same thing that Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Shimon said that we do in a different problem that we have. What's that problem? The problem is like this. Remember that there's such a thing in the case of a korban oil of a yoreid. So in a korban oil of a yoreid, if someone is bedale dalut, he cannot afford the korban behema. He cannot afford a korban oaf. So what does he do in that case? He brings a minchas chote, right? So this would be in these cases where you were over on a shvuah or shvuah ha'edus, you were metame the migdash, whatever the case is, the kohen over here was chote in that sense. And now he has to bring, he doesn't have any money, so he's bringing a korban chatas, that is to say a minchas chote, special kind of korban. The only place we bring a chatas from a mincha. Now, the problem is that a minchas chote has a completely different halacha because it says over there that it has to be treated the way that the mincha is treated by Yisrael. And it says that specifically. So over there, since it says v'hayta l'kohen kamincha, what does that mean? If the one who was chote was a kohen, so then it has to be treated anyway like a mincha, like a normal mincha, meaning like a mincha Yisrael. So what does that mean? Does it mean that we don't keep the shirayim up? We actually let people eat the shirayim? No, because it says beferish kol minchat kohen. There's no such thing as a minchat kohen lo teachel. You're not allowed to eat it. So we're in the same problem over there. We have to treat it on the one hand as a minchas Yisrael because it says kamincha, like a standard mincha. But once we do the kmitza, what are we supposed to do with the shirayim? Since minchas kohen lo teachel, so we're sort of stuck. So we end up in the same situation as we are over here. We can't not do kmitza because he might be a Yisrael in our case. We can't actually put the shirayim on the mizbeach because kol shemimenu le'ishim, you're not allowed to put on the mizbeach. So we're sort of stuck. That's exactly what happens every time a kohen brings a minchas chote. It has to be vaitala kohen kemincha, so it needs kmitza. But on the other hand, what do we do with the shirayim? Since kol minchat kohen has to be kalilti. So if we take a look at what Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says in that case, where we're not going to do what Rabbi Eliezer says, and I was going to quote Libet HaChachomi that you can't just put something on the mizbeach and say, I do hereby dub the fish, and make it into Eitzim, you can't do that. So what do you do? So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, you bring the komets, obviously, by itself, because it says it's the Kohen Kamincha. And on the other hand, you take the Shirayim, and you put the Shirayim on the Beit HaDeshen. Now, exactly what the Beit HaDeshen is a little bit of a problem, because according to Rashi, we end up understanding this to be the Beit HaDeshen is the Beit HaDeshen of the Trumas HaDeshen. As Tosis points out, that does not really make any sense. There were two places that we would put things that we can't put on the Mizbeach, and that is we have one place that's to the east, that is to say, to the right side of the Mizbeach as you're looking at the Mizbeach from the side of the Kevesh, and we had over there one next to the Mizbeach and one closer to you, which would be on the same side to the east, to your right, but it's next to the Kevesh. And it's not next to the Mizbeach. The one that was next to the Mizbeach, that's where the Kohen would throw the parts of the oaf that he had to take off with the Mura Venotza, which was Araya. Wow, these guys were mamish, tremendous baseball players, because they had to be able to throw all the way from one side of the Mizbeach over to the Beit HaDesh. Oh, my God. And they managed to do it. And this was not even a good baseball. I mean, this was garbage. And they still managed to get it over there. So part of the training of the Kohanim, of course, was out there with the Yankees. And the other one was all the way down the Kevesh. That was not for the Mura Ta'ov, plus for the Dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi, where when we come out of the Mizbeach HaZov, where we bring out the ashes, we put it there next to the Mizbeach. But the other one was next to the Kevesh. Now, next to the Kevesh, there is where we put these kind of things, because that's where we would burn things. We would put down the different things that were psule, kotche, kotchim. That's where we have to put these things, because that's where we burn things. The place that we put down the Trumas Hadeshen wasn't burned. There was a nace that it was absorbed into the karka, and it would just sort of disappear on us, together with the ashes from the menorah, and so on and so forth, right? So Tosfos Tainis to Rashi, this cannot be mean the Beit HaDeshen that you're learning. Okay, that makes sense, so Tosfos says. Obviously, it means it's put on the place where things were burned. Excellent. But what we would do, therefore, over here would be the same thing, right? Because even the Rabbanan, who argue over there in Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and they disagree, and they say no. It when the Torah says both halachas, it means both halachas. We treat it to kmitza, but the shirayim are meant to be burned the way normal shirayim are meant to be burned. Okay, but even the Rabbanan over there, they argue, because they hold that when it says that it's lakohen kamincha, it's just mechayev the din of kmitza. I understand. So over there they argue, because according to this, they're saying that it is actually batakravahi. It's meant to be brought entirely. And they hold that it means to be put on the Mizbeach. Okay? How would we put it on the Beit HaDeshen? But in this case, where it's literally a suffix, we just don't know if he's a Kohen or is he a Yisrael. Obviously, over there, they can't say we put it on mitzvah suffix. So over here, even under the Rabbanan Armeida, that we burn it, but we don't burn it on the Mizbeach. We burn it next to the Mizbeach in the Mokum of the Srefa of Psule Kachim. And now for this grand moment. More problems of not knowing who someone is. Confusions. So we're dealing with confusions, and we get, by the way, to another marvelous expression of the idea of confusion, not necessarily meaning confusion of a psul, but confusion being a psul, which is what we've given as the explanation all along, hinted at in the sugya through the use of inappropriate words and so on, that there's such a thing as an actual psul created by confusion. You may know that your father is a Kohen, but that doesn't mean that you're a Kohen. Wow, what? Okay, so here's the deal. Let's talk about a case where we do not know who a father is. And we have a very simple case like that. Remember, we said before, you have to wait 3 months between relationships with different men. So if a woman gets divorced, husband dies, we need to make sure that she's not pregnant. So if she gets married within 3 months and she ends up delivering within the 7 months of her marriage over there, then we're worried that she may be carrying the child of the second guy, because remember, in those days, we had that gestational 7-month baby, and we don't know, is he a 7-month baby or is he a 9-month baby? So she goes ahead over there. She didn't wait 3 months. She going ahead, she went and gets married to somebody else, and she has a son. Now, I don't know who that son's father is. Ve'ina yodua im ben tisha l'rishon im ben shiva l'acharon. So, assuming that she also had other children, so she had children from her first husband besides this kid, and she has children from her other husband, from the new husband, other ones. So then they all have to, in this case, either the first husband's son that we know is the first husband's son and the second husband's son. If this kid that we don't know who he is, if he's husband A or husband B's son, so then they both children, surviving brothers, would have to do chalitza. Now, obviously, they cannot do yibum because she is, if he's not a father, then at least what they do is they do share the same mother, that's for sure, and therefore, how can I, if I don't know that my father is the same father, then if I take this woman, I am marrying the brother's wife from my mother, not from my father. Uh-oh, that's an Isser Karis. So all I can do in that case is I give chalitza. But both sets of families need to do a chalitza in order for this woman to be able to get married, because otherwise she's going to be a Yavama who wasn't taken care of, or she'll be a Yavama Lashuk. Now, the same thing would be true if he's the only surviving brother. So in other words, let's say that the single son or maybe a couple of children died from the children of father A, and a couple of children died of father B, and the only one left is this guy who is A or B, right? So now he is going to have to do the same thing. He's the only one who can do chalitza. So he does chalitza, but he, of course, has to be careful because he cannot do yibum on either of them, because this one may be my real yavama, but if it isn't, then it's an Isser Karis because it's my brother from my mother's wife, Shaloba Maka Mitzvah, and that would be an Isser Karis. Now, let's imagine a case where there are brothers from both Stadim, but they are not brothers from my mother. So in this case, we're talking about only had this, the one left over here, which was son of either A or B. And then we had, definitely, we had sons that were from her. And if they're from her, we had this problem. But what about in a case where the two husbands had sons from another wife? So in that case, there would not be a problem of being from the same mother, because it's definitely not from the same mother. My gosh, we're zechut to Calvin today. That is wonderful. So it's definitely not my brother's wife from my mother, because this is a guy that was completely unrelated. Either it's a father that we have in common or nothing that we have in common, because these were brothers that were stepbrothers on both sides, no matter who it was. So my first possible father had children from another woman, and my second possible father had children from another woman, and that's all that's left. So what about in that case? If he has brothers who might be brothers from the same father or might not be related at all, so hayulo achim min harishon v'achim min hasheni. Okay, if they die, so then he can do either chalitza or yibum, because he's got no problem. Because since he's the only surviving brother, assuming he is a brother, either he is being miyabim his real yavama, or he's just taking someone that's unrelated to him who's dead. He's taking his wife, so she's just like anyone else. She's not possibly his brother from the same mother. That's for sure. So therefore, he's got no problem. So therefore, we have over here doing whatever the heck he wants, because there's no chashash. But what about if he dies? If he dies, then we've got a problem, because one of them has to do chalitza before the other one could do yibum, you see? Because if it's the wrong one, then it's not actually his brother's wife. So you'll say, okay, so if it's not his brother's wife, what's the problem? The problem is that she's the Yavama Lashuk, and nobody did the chalitza to her if it isn't your brother's wife. So obviously one does chalitza in case she is his Yavama, in case they were brothers from the same father from, let's say, the first husband or the second husband. I don't care. But we certainly need to make sure she's not a Yavama Lashuk when the other brother decides to be miyabim. And obviously both can do chalitza if they want, but if one is going to be miyabim, So then we need to make sure that the chalitza was done first. Now, here's an interesting question. Suppose one of the fathers, possible fathers, was a Kohen, and the other one was a Yisrael. Okay, so now this guy, who is of uncertain paternity, he doesn't know whether his father's a Kohen or his father's a Yisrael, so what does he do? Well, he can only marry a woman that is kosher l'kahuna, because he might be a Kohen. And he is not allowed to ever go to a funeral, so he's not Matami L'Mason. And if he did, I mean, obviously we can't give him Malkus because it's Asura Suffolk. We can't tell the guy, hey, you're a Kohen. You say, I don't know if I'm a Kohen. How do you know I'm a Kohen? So then he's not going to be able to ever be Chai of Malkus. So I'm being Matami to a mace. That's true. Now he's not allowed to eat Truma because he might not be a Kohen. But what if he did eat Truma? Well, then we can't force him to pay Karen V'chomesh, right? Which normally a czar would have to pay because Amotzi Michaveiro Olavaraya. So how can we sue him for the Karen V'chomesh? We can't do that. Furthermore, he doesn't get any chelek, Bekotche Hamigdash, it should say, and he may not be a Kohen. And Einot Nimlo Et HaKodashim, if he is, the Tainas, he wants to get a chelek in the Orot, whatever, why would we give it to him? But Ein Motzin Et Shalom Yado, but we don't take his kachim from him because he says, listen, I might be a Kohen. I'm Motzi Michaver Olav Araya. Obviously, he's not allowed to eat kachim, but he should be able to keep the Orot HaKodashim or his Bechor, as we'll see. He doesn't have to give the Kohen the Zroa L'Chayayim V'Keva because he'll say, listen, this is mine. These are my matanot. I'm a Kohen. I can keep them for myself. They're not usher to a czar. Bechoro, and if he gets a Bechor, you wait until it gets a mum. And that's it, because he's saying, listen, it might be mine. Now we know what that was referring to, like we said before in the Mishnah, that that's talking about a carbon mincha that he brings. So thank you, I didn't read that, sorry. So if he has truma, he sells his truma to a Kohen, thank you for reminding me, and he doesn't have to give the money to a Kohen, he can keep the money. He says, listen, I might be a Kohen. You want the money of the Truma? You prove my paternity. You show me I'm not a Kohen. I'll be very grateful to know who I am if you can manage. So in that case, we can't take the money, the value of the Truma from him. Now, suppose both of the husbands that are his possible fathers are Kohanim. So now we have an interesting halacha over here. He doesn't know which one is his father. So if either of them dies, he has to be makbid to act as an onen, and an onen, of course, is usher to midiraisa. He's not allowed to eat the kachim, and he's not allowed to do aveda. So he has to lechumra, he has to be an onen if either father dies. There's a big question over here. What do you mean if either father dies? How in the world could there be an either father that would still have this problem? Because if father number one is still alive, that implies that he divorced his wife. But if he divorced his wife, then the second Kohen that marries her had married a divorcee, and then he is a halal. So if he's a halal, he should say, listen, mamanifshach. Like, if I'm a Kohen, then I'm not a kosher Kohen. So what would be the problem? Anyway, but we'll talk about that. So in this case, if they die, he cannot go to the funeral of either of them, and they are not allowed to go to his funeral if he dies because it might not be his kid. And if they die, he cannot take any of the money of the Yerusha because the other heirs will say, excuse me, sir, what do you have to do with our Yerusha? You're the son of the other guy. And the other guy's sons will say, no, you're the son of the other guy. So in any event, he's not going to be able to get either Yerusha. But suppose he dies and the two fathers, he doesn't have any heirs of his own. He dies without children. And the fathers now each claim a part, each want the whole Yerusha. So this would be a classic case of Mamona Mutal B'Safek. And the two fathers would have to split the Yerusha. So Hem Yoshimoto. Now, if he hits one of these fathers or curses one of these possible fathers, so then he would be possibly doing an Isser, but we can't give him misa for that because he's potter, because he doesn't know that it's for his father. So he's potter amakatova kilolato shalze vishalze. But he can go into the Beis HaMikdash and he can do Aveda. How does he do that? Because what are they going to do? The people in the Mishmar will say, hey, you're not part of our Mishmar. You're the other guy's kid. He'll say, so you, I'm not going to take anything from you. Prove that I'm not part of your Mishmar and that I'm part of Mashamachru, the Dorot HaKodmim, Mimkar Avoteyem. So therefore, I'm going to do Aveda. But if he tries to take any of that to eat, then they can stop him because, excuse me, you're stealing our food. The food is only mitchalek to the Anshei Mishmar. So, okay, he can go to the Mishmar of both of them, but he can't eat the food from either of them unless somebody gives him a gift. I mean, that's something else. Ima yushneyem b'mishmar achad, if both of his possible fathers were members of the same Mishmar, so then he does get a right Mamanavshach to one of them. Hey, just to point out again, says the Gemara, that of course we're talking about that first you need to do chalitza, because otherwise the other one can't do yibum because maybe it's a yavaba that has not yet been muteret l'shuk. So just like we pointed out in the previous Mishnayos, that you must do chalitza first and then yibum, but you can't do yibum first because of the possibility that you're being pogea in a yavama l'shuk. So we have to take care of that problem first. Now, here is an amazing halacha, which actually brings out so beautifully what we've been saying all along. Says Shmuel, you've got 10 Kohanim that are sitting at a restaurant. One of them goes into the bathroom and impregnates a woman, comes back to the table before anybody knows what happened, and we don't know which one it was. So we ask the woman, I don't know, it was one of that group of the Kohanim conference, you know? So, okay, so we know that the father is a Kohen, but we just don't know which Kohen. And Piresh Echad Me'amu Ba'al Havlat Shtuki. Now, when we say a Shtuki, I mean, that's absurd. A Shtuki, remember that the word Shtuki is normally used when a kid addresses someone in as daddy and his mother says, shh. Okay. So that's why we say Shtuki. She tells him, shut up every time he tries to call someone daddy. Now, in this case, and normally a Shtuki is going to be maybe puzzle and so on, but over here we know that the father was a kosher Kohen because all of the people that were invited to this Kohanim conference had to bring proof that they were Kohanim Yuchasim and that they're Tzadikim Gemurim and so on. So, okay, so we know that all of these people are great Kohanim. They just get work done very quickly. So over here, he ought to be able to be a Kohen kosher. So what does it mean that he's a Shtuki? I mean, does it mean Shemishat Kino Dominichse Aviv, that we don't give him inheritance? Obviously, we don't give him inheritance. He doesn't know who his father is. So Pshita Miyadina Navu Amani, we don't know who the father is. How could he possibly get an inheritance? It must mean that he's a Shtuki in the sense of Mashtikin Oto Midin Kuhuna. Unbelievable halacha. He is not allowed to do the Aveda as a Kohen. What? But any one of the possible fathers was a Kohen, completely kosher, Meyuchas, all the way back to Ezra Kohen. Why can he not do the Aveda? My Taima, Omar Kro, the Torah says, Vaita lo ulezaro acharav brit kuhunat olam. That only where it's zaro acharav, is it a brit kunat olam? But if you cannot define who daddy is, then that's not called a brit kunat, because where's the zaro acharav? Tell me who your father is. Don't tell me your father is a Kohen. What Kohen? And therefore, be'inan zaro miyuchas acharav, you see how this ties into everything that we've been learning until now, that the idea of zaro miyuchas acharav, and the Gemara is about to point out, that the same language is used to Avram Avinu, which means that this idea of Zaro Miyuchas is a remez. Now, it's only a remez. This is a drabonon. And it's basically a knas, as we'll talk about. And we're not allowing him to do the avoda because Leka asks Rav Papa, so what do you think it means by Avram Avinu? When it says, Liyot lecha le'elohim lezaracha acharecha, So over there, what, you're going to apostle his children if they don't know what their yichuds are? Now, of course, this is what we've been saying. Of course, you won't apostle them. There's no din of mamzerus. There's no din of pagam. But there is a chisoren that we don't want to talk about out loud. And therefore, we're being meramez it all through the sugyas we did before. When we called the ones who were in doubt, we called them only by implication, by calling them not the ksherim. Which is like, what? Okay. So it was all an implication. The same thing is true over here. We are implying that where we don't have zaro miyuchas acharav, we have a problem in the etzem elohus kevayochal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to them as B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, which is astounding. And as we mentioned, we saw this whole Indian, that this is part of the Chashivas of Yisrael, of the Odom Atev, that you're part of the Dor Dor V'Dor Shav in a very concrete way, and that therefore the Zarom Yuchas Acharav is part of Kabbalah's HaTorah, as we pointed out. In which case, it's an extremely important Nakuda, and part of the whole concept of Yibum is that we are going out of our way to see to it that the neshama should have its place in the world, in sha'ar mikomo, that the person belongs in a particular place as part of a particular genealogy. And even to the extent that we'll call it habachor, which it never is true, there is no bachor, that we call on his name and so on and so forth. So the whole sugya of Yibum is all remes to these inyanim. Again, as the Rishonim point out, we do not discuss mumbo-jumbo in public, meaning that inyonim that have to do with gilgulim of neshamas, with the kayach of a neshama and a goof, all of that's all very nice for women to be talking about in the Beis HaAvel. Oh, the neshama is very happy. That could go. Leave me alone, will you? But as the Rambam says, what are you going to do about women talk? They know everything. So, okay, so there is a lot of discussion about how happy the Neshama is, but we don't talk about those things. In which case, we have only Ramazim, and we have many Ramazim, again, as the Ramban often points out, as the Zohar often points out, and so on and so forth. Yes, but we will not talk about it beferish, and the same thing is true throughout the Sugya of Yibum. But nonetheless, this issue of the kayach of Yichus and its involvement in the nature of Olam Hazeh, part of the whole concept of reproduction, which is why all of these inyonim are geared, the period of Arivia and the idea of Lo Tohu V'ra'a and how that relates to Bris Shel Avram Avinu and, of course, Bris Mila itself. These are amazing, amazing inyonim, which, again, remember, are so much part of a woman's role in life. That even when it comes to Bris Mila, it's always the women who are in charge of what shouldn't be any of their business. So it's talking about Tzipora, Eshes, Moshe, and it's talking about Dvorah, Shekamti, Embi, Yisrael. And these are, this is the, as we spoke about, that the Isha is Ateret Baala, is exactly this Nakuda. All of these things are remuzim, but they're so central to the construction that we have over here in total of Meseches Yevamos that it almost jumps out at you. So anyway, so here too, so Rav Papa asks it as a kasha. We're certainly not going to say that when Avraham Avinu is told, Liot Bechal or Yimaz Archach Arecha, that there's a psul. So how do you understand that pasuk? What is the meaning over there? Maiko Mazir Le'Rachmana, what the Torah is telling him, that there's an Isser on your children. I understand by Cohen you could say he shouldn't do the Aveda. What are you going to say over here? No, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, make sure that your children are zaracha acharecha, meaning that they should not marry an avedes kochavim, or should not marry a shivcha, because then the child will be miyuchas after her. But this doesn't make any sense. Remember we had before, we had the question we were talking about over there, where a yavam doesn't wait 3 months before he does yibum. And the child is born, again, less than 9 months later. We don't know if he's a ben to the father or he's a ben to the Yavam. So obviously he's not puzzel in that case. He's not a mamzer. Either he is the first father's child, so he's perfectly kosher, or he's the Yavam's child and he's perfectly kosher and he's the result of the mitzvah of Yibam. And the way, remember that we said before, the way that the Bryce explains it is, he is so kosher, he could be a Kohen Gadol. What do you mean? According to Shmuel, it's all very nice to say theoretically he's kosher, but it's not Zaracha Acharecha. So it's not obviously miyuchas acharav. So how could we possibly say he's a kohen gadol? Habein et zara miyuchas acharav aleka. Answers the Gemara, look, let me tell you the truth. Don't spread this around, buddy. But zara miyuchas acharav is only an iser derabbanan. And the pasuk is an esmachta. And the only gezeira in the Rabbanan is in cases of znus. So over there, the Rabbanan said, okay, you want to go screwing around? We'll screw around with your life. And that way your kid is not going to be a kosher Kohen. That's all that it means. So where we have that kind of problem, and like we don't know who the father is because he runs into the bathroom, that's outrageous. So because of that, we will answer Zara Acharecha. But in a case where we have over here, this case, which is talking about for sure, what was done was kosher. Either it was a completely kosher father, or it was a yavam that was doing a mitzvah. We wouldn't make a gezera in a case like that. Oh, what do you mean? Of course we do. Take a look at our Mishnah. And this is the way we get around to understanding the case in the Mishnah. The case in our Mishnah is what? That she didn't wait 3 months. We don't know who the father is. And basically, both of them are Kohanim, so there's no problem. Now, excuse me, but it says over here, I mean, when we say Baala, she didn't wait after what? After the death of her husband? But the Mishnah says that when her husband dies, that he has to keep the dinim of Aninus, either husband. So obviously, the husband is alive. So what do you mean she didn't wait after her husband? Her husband's still there. So it must mean, it says over there, who onin alayam, who onin vehim onanim alav. So over there, I understand he can be onin alayam. That you can find where the first husband dies, and it's talking about over here that the second one later died. He wasn't the grusha. He has to keep the onanim for the second husband's death. But there would be a way to be an onin even on the first one. How is that? 10 years later, they go and they reinter his bodies. The guy died somewhere. Now they bring his atzomas to another location. The din is, remember that we learned that for one day there's a din of einun. It's fine, okay. So it's talking about likut atzamot the kama. But how could we have a case where both of the possible fathers have to be oninim aleihem if he's already dead? So he must not be dead. So how did she marry the second guy? She was a grusha, Ella Begrusha, and that's what it means, Achar Ba'ala, meaning after getting the get, she didn't wait 3 months, and that's impossible, because it says he is not allowed to be Matame, and they are not Matame for him. I mean, I understand, they're not Matame for him, they have to be Machmir, because each one of them is not allowed to be Matame for someone who isn't their son, but he's not allowed to be Matame for them. That's not true. I understand he can't be Matame for the second husband, because he might be the son of the first husband. But if he is the son of the first husband, so then he should be able to be metame to the first husband. And then, if he is actually the son of the second husband, since she was a divorcee, he's a cholol. So he should be able to be metame to the first husband. If it's his father, so he's mechuyav to be metame. If it's not his father, so he's not doing any iser by being metame because the second husband was usher to her because she's a grusha. So obviously we can't be talking about a grusha either. There's only one possibility. It's biznus. She wasn't married to these guys, right? And when it says she didn't wait after her husband, it doesn't mean her husband. It means the guy who got her pregnant. Acher bo Allah. Nonetheless, it says, Ola b'mishmar shel zeh v'shel zeh. He's allowed to go and work in the Beis HaMikdash, but Shmuel said he's not allowed to. And therefore, our mission is a tiyuv to the Shmuel. Brilliant question. Really beautiful. Omer of Shmaya, it's talking about over here that she was a little orphan girl. And as a little orphan girl, mommy was mima'enet in her first husband. Says the Gemara, there's only one little problem. Little orphan girls don't get pregnant, not if they're little. So, and if she isn't little, how could she be Mima Enet? So one way or the other, something doesn't work, because remember that Rav Baby said, we had this earlier, that there's three situations where we demand contraceptives or we allow contraceptives, Machlokas Rishonim, and that was the Shalosh Nashim Mishamshas B'moch, either a ketana, or a woman who's pregnant, or a woman who's nursing. a katana, because what happens if she now gets pregnant and she dies because she can't handle a pregnancy? A mu'beret, because maybe she will get re-pregnant and wreck her current pregnancy. And a menika, that's why we talked before about twins, meaning identical twins. And over here, if she is a nursing mother, maybe she will get pregnant and then that'll ruin her milk and the child won't want to nurse and he'll die. Shemetik molad ben aviyamot. Now, we explained over there that katana is from the age of 11 years until 12 years. Less than that, she's not going to get pregnant. And after that, she can handle the pregnancy. And the Rabbanan say that, Divrei Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbanan say, doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about things like this. The good Lord protects the fools. Mishamesha kedarka, and minashamayim yirachemu, because it's a shomer psoim Hashem. But the bottom line is that a little orphan girl doesn't get pregnant and survive. So therefore, what are we talking about? She's mima enet. She couldn't be a mima enet. Okay, not a mima enet, but we could have a case where a t'nai was made, right? And then it turns out, this guy said, listen, 2 years from now, I'm getting this big investment coming in. You know, they all say that. And we're going to be rich, honey babes. Yeah, but you ain't got no money. Oh, I got a lot of money coming in. If I don't bring you $1 million 2 years from now, then this whole condition is bought. Well, sure enough, he never brought her those $1 million. And she says, you no good, Nick, fooling me into this. And she walks out of the house because the whole marriage is annulled because it was made on condition, right? That's what it's talking about. Well, the Omer of Yudom Rishmo, Mishom Rabishmo, when it says, Vihi lo nitvasa. Why dafka vihi lo nitvasa? Velo nitvasa. Vihi lo nitvasa means there's another case, there's not some other case. Not like this one. He lo nitvasa, she's asura, if she ended up sleeping with another guy. But if she was nitvasa, she's mutaris. But there's another case where even if she wasn't nitvasa, and she's been sleeping with this guy, she's still mutaris. Where's that? Where the whole kedusha was kedusha tos. I don't care if she's carrying around that baby in a backpack. She walks out of the house and says, I would never marry to this guy. And she's mima enet vo lechet la. And that would be the case about which we are speaking. All right. Beautiful, lovely, lovely insights into the nature of Yevamos, into the idea of Yichusim, and into all of the possibilities of where the Rabbanan made this gzera. Now, if you want to just listen to one additional point, which of course is ex post facto. So if you need to leave, you can leave. But, okay. The kasha that is asked over here relates to something we've been speaking about all through the Masechet. Why in the world are we bringing an esmachta of zaracha acharecha if this is a knas? The Rabbanim were saying now Aliba de Shmuel only gave this as a knas in cases of zunus. So then what's the point of a pasuk zaracha acharecha, for heaven's sakes? It has nothing to do with that. Because the Rabbanim are giving a knas to someone who's not taking care of his relationships. Fine, they can give the knas. There's no point in the pasuk because it's not really true. And the answer, so this the Achronim ask us, why are we bringing an Esmachta? An Esmachta you bring where there's an Inyan that the Torah is being Meramis to, but there's no Inyan here at all. And the answer is obvious, gentlemen. All through the Masechet, as we've pointed out, there are two levels. One is the level of what you want to achieve. What I want to achieve is that a Kohen who is not being a good boy in terms of his relationships should not have the benefit of his children being miyuchas after the kohuna. Fine. But how do I achieve that? There's the what and there's the how. I need a mechanism to achieve that. So the mechanism is, since in reality you do need zara miyuchas acharav, meaning if I were really misupak, whether he's a kohen or not, I wouldn't be allowed to say, okay, but maybe he's a Kohen, so that I can't do, because you need him, we need to know that he's a Vada Kohen to be Zaro Meyuchas Acharav. That's for sure true. Once the Torah puts it that way, the Rabbanan can actually now say, we demand even more. The Torah wants him to be a Vada Kohen. We want to know what Vada Kohen he is. But if you didn't have that yesod, then the Rabbanim would say, we're going to give you a knas. You can't go into the base. Who gives you the right to make a knas? Where in the world? What, you want to give me a knas? Fine me $10,000. Well, how can you play around with who's allowed to do the avoda? That's none of your business. So we always need to have a yesod on which we build the Isser de Rabbanan to achieve what we want to achieve.